our unique God of all, the Lord of Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad. We call upon your name this evening as we come to break our fast.
According to the teachings of Islam, Ramadan commemorates the revelation of God's word in the Holy Quran to the Prophet Muhammad. The word has become the foundation for one of the world's great religions.
You said recently in your old church, our national leaders are sending U.S. soldiers on a task that is from God. Are we fighting a holy war?
You know, I don't know if that was my exact quote.
It's exact words.
As again we say, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. Give me a break. Something happened on the road to Damascus. John fell off his horse, but he got back up on the same horse.
Throughout most of the history of the Christian church, could you find, let's go back 100 years, 200 years, 300 years, let's not even go back too far, could you find Christians who were openly in favor of abortion? If you listen to the politicians of today, the pro-choice politicians of today, many of them will tell you that the Christian mind is an undecided matter and has been for thousands of years on the issue of abortion. Is that true? We're going to be talking with Dennis DeMauro here for the first few minutes of Issues Etc. about pro-choice Christian groups, where they came from, and when they came into existence. You can join us for the next 2 hours. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. 1-877-623-MYIE. 877-623-MYIE. A little later in the program, we'll be talking with Tim Townsend, religion reporter for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, about a front-page story in today's St. Louis Post-Dispatch on text messaging at church during the sermon. Then a little later, Pastor Will Whedon will join us to pick up the conversation right there, a pastoral perspective on this text messaging trend during Christian sermons. Allison Pond will join us in the second hour of the program. There's a new poll tracking trends on how religious voters intend to vote for president. We'll see what it says and what is changing, if anything. And then Rod Rosenblatt will join us for the last part of the program. We'll continue our series on the solas of the Reformation. Faith alone will be the subject with Dr. Rod Rosenblatt. 1-877-623-MYIE, 1-877-623-MYIE. Or email us right here in the studio this Tuesday, September the 23rd, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Dennis DeMauro is a regular guest. He's secretary of the National Pro-Life Religious Council, president of Northern Virginia Lutherans for Life, and author of the new book, A Love for Life, Christianity's Consistent Protection of the Unborn. Dennis, welcome back.
Thank you so much.
Is this a contradiction in terms, pro-abortion Christian?
Well, I would say that it is, because to be Christian is to, if we look at our Holy Scriptures, we can see that the love for life is in it so obviously and completely and goes throughout the entire Scriptures. But unfortunately today, there are many Christians who do not see that link, unfortunately, and so we do have many pro-choice denominations and Christians.
How far do we have to go back to find the, not so much the formal groups, we'll talk about those in a minute, but the beginnings of a, what you would call a pro-choice movement among Christians, openly?
Well, at least in the United States, in around the early 1960s, we began to see a number of mainline Christian denominations move towards the pro-choice position, and they came out this in their conventions, and they made statements stating that in certain cases that abortion could be seen as ethical. For instance, the number of the Presbyterian churches that became the Presbyterian Church USA, the churches that were the precursors to the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, and a number of others, including United Church of Christ, all started to change, and that happened early 60s, around 1963. And in 1967, what happened was that a number of Protestant ministers decided to take the law in their own hands. And even though abortion was illegal in many, many states, they created an organization called the Clergy Consultation Service. And it was led by a gentleman named the Reverend Howard Moody, who's an American Baptist minister. And what they did is they started to refer women to abortions where they were legal, out of states that were illegal. So it was a way that they were trying to get around the law in those states where abortion was illegal and refer women to places where they could have either legal or illegal abortions.
There are two groups that you write about, one, Catholics for a Free Choice, and the other, the Religious Coalition for Reproductive Choice. Let's talk about the Catholic group first.
Well, Catholics for a Free Choice was started by a lady called named Frances Kissling, and she was a former novitiate of the Sisters of St. Joseph, and she was also an abortion clinic director for a number of years. And she started this organization called Catholics for a Free Choice, which clearly is against the teaching of the Catholic Church, which is naturally pro-life. And they've been funded by some very large and powerful organizations, such as the Ford Foundation and actually Hugh Hefner's Playboy Foundation. And so they have a great deal of money, a very, very large budget, much larger than the pro-life organization. And they're very powerful. The other group that you were talking about is also funded by other large liberal think tank groups, and it's the Religious Coalition for Reproductive Choice. And that organization was started, and many, many denominations, mainline denominations, belong to it, even though it is unbelievably radical in its view towards abortion. And if I might, can I read a couple of the authors from RCRC and let you know a little bit about them?
Oh, sure. That'd be very instructive.
Well, the first thing that you see when you look at RCRC, in creating the book, I wrote a I had to read a document called Prayerfully Pro-Choice, which is the Religious Coalition of Reproductive Choices manual for liturgies related to abortion. And what they try to do in these liturgies is they try to make women feel better about their abortion decision. It's actually extremely sad the way that it works out, because it kind of teaches them that, let me give you an example. Dr. Kendall Gibbons wrote that, she wrote, "With loving grief, we release the potential to other incarnations in the infinite womb of the universe from which nothing is ever lost." Now, if you go back to your seminary days, you probably remember that this kind of smacks of Gnosticism. And what we're seeing is that the idea is that you try to make the woman think that the child is kind of like an eon or some kind of a deity that can go out and return to the central Godhead. And so if the deity or the eon or this life is not successful and it dies, well, it'll somehow be absorbed back into this great world of life and deity that we all live in. So what it tries to do is take various theologies and various thoughts and say to the woman, you know, you've had this abortion, but don't worry about it, because either that was just a life that was not meant to be. It's somehow a life that we'll come back to know, but we don't really have to worry about it. The whole concept that a child actually was growing in the womb and the child was killed is subverted.
So it sounds as though these religious groups that are in favor of abortion, and we've only got about a minute here before we round off our conversation, mm-hmm. It sounds as though they are at least admitting that a life was taken, if in a very odd metaphysical way.
Well, yeah, I think what they're dealing with the grief, but they're not dealing with the grief that you'd see in a post-abortive pregnancy center would deal with these things. They deal with post-abortive stress and post-abortive thing. They don't deal with it in a Christian sense that a sin was committed. I'm deeply, deeply regretful of my sin. I ask God in His love to forgive me of my sin, and then I'm forgiven, I'm healed, and I can move on. in the fact that I've done wrong, but I know that God loves me, and I can move into a new direction. Instead, it's this kind of idea that the life in the womb isn't really a life, that it's a potential life, but it's a potential life that for some reason either we or God decide not to happen. And so the problem with that, of course, is that I don't think it leads to real healing. It leads to this kind of a strange view of the world and of God, and doesn't really resolve the inner problem.
With only about 15 seconds, what will we be talking about next time with you, Dennis?
Well, next time we're going to be talking about the controversy that went on. Chapter 7 in the book deals with all the U.S. denominations and goes through their denominational activity. So it's going to talk about pro-life organizations that are within pro-choice groups and pro-life organizations that are in pro-life denominations. And so it's going to go through, no matter whether you're in a pro-life or a pro-choice denomination, we're going to show you what's been going on in the pro-life direction by a bunch of activists and Christian leaders who have really taken upon themselves to try to share the gospel of life with others in their denomination. So it's a fun chapter.
Dennis DeMauro is Secretary of the National Pro-Life Religious Council, President of Northern Virginia Lutherans for Life, author of the book A Love for Life. Find out more about A Love for Life under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Dennis, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks so much.
When we come back, we're going to talk with Tim Townsend of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch about text messaging during the sermon on purpose. Stay tuned.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. issuesetc.org.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Issues Etc., Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Pastor Curtis Buskol, Amy Schumacher, Pastor Donald Degler, Cynthia Titus, Dr. Robert McDowell, Carol Huff, Peggy Hanna, Pastor Anthony Iovine, John Klinger, and Karen Klinger. Thanks for your support.
618-223-8384. It's the new phone number for the Issues Etc. listener comment line. 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.